Hello, this is Pastor Fred Brooks from Christ Family Church, located at 18506 Telegraph Road in Brownstown, Michigan. I want to thank you for downloading and listening to this message via podcast today, and I pray it'll be a source of blessing and encouragement to you. Christ Family is a Spirit-filled church full of people who are passionate about the things of God and who believe in the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. If we can ever be of service to you, or you would like more information about Christ Family, simply contact us through our website at christfamily.com. May the Lord bless you, and remember, you are always welcome at Christ Family.
Around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Jesus is talking to the disciples about their attitude. You have to have the right attitude to receive what God is going to give you. So my question is, do you have a blessed attitude? Let's ask the people you work with. Let's ask the people you live with. You had one when you first got the job. You had one when you first started dating. You had one when you first joined the church. It's awful quiet. Let's pray. Lord, anoint my lips that I speak your word properly and correctly. Lord, search our hearts that if there are any wicked ways, Lord, take those things that are toxic to our development and remove them so we can be free to do what it is that you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. There's been a lot of studies done about why we have trouble with forgiveness. Forgiving others, receiving forgiveness from others, and believing that God can forgive us. I'm sure we've all heard people or had conversations that people say, man, I've done some stuff that God can never forgive me for. But we live in a society that celebrates people being unforgiving. The harder you are, the tougher you are, the more unforgiving you are, it seems like the more you're celebrated. People are like, yeah, man, you're tough. Yeah, you stood up to them. You told them what was on your mind. How often people come to you and say, man, that was very loving. You were so passionate. It's so different. It seems like they celebrate the unforgiveness. It's like, you know, like I said, if you're strong, we interpret it as strength, and it's not. A lot of times you're just mad, and that's why you're coming across like you're strong. Don't take that. Be strong. Men are intimidated to forgive. You know, it's often that men have a tendency when they need to forgive, they stumble around. We see unforgiveness as being strong, but it really takes more strength to forgive than it does to stay angry and toxic and mad. Forgiveness is a big idea for people with eagle eye vision. It's amazing. Eagles fly at such high altitudes, but they can see that little rodent on the ground. They can see that fish that might be, 6 or 8 inches under the water, and they swoop in. That's eagle eye vision. They see what they need to see, and they go after it. And it takes more strength to forgive than it does to stay angry. Eagle eye vision. People who can see the big picture. You have to be willing to lose the little battle to win the war. Do you know what I'm saying? You guys getting this? We love to talk and preach about blessings and the 10 steps to healing and blessings, and you can't lose with the stuff I use, and we sound like a commercial. The thing is that Jesus is teaching a blessing plan on attitude. He says that when your attitude is a certain way, you will walk into a supernatural blessing. And here's a promise that we don't hear about too often. Jesus told his disciples, offenses will come. If you avoid offenses, you avoid life. They will come. Over and over and over. The mail may not come, but offenses will come. The longer you live, the more things will offend you. Remember, your ability to handle offenses will determine your direction in life, though. I wish I would have understood this when I was younger. Because I let offenses mold me and who I was for a long time. And instead of letting those offenses go, I reflected on them and I held them. And I let them turn me into a person that just wasn't a very nice person. Yet we remember, God will promote you to the level of your tolerance of pain and problems. Some of you right now are saying, what are you talking about? Why would I want to be promoted to that? If you can handle it, he will promote you. In the corporate world, who makes the big bucks? It's the guy who can solve the problems. It's the guy who can lead. It's the guy who has the answers. They're the ones that make the big bucks. They can handle it. They can get the job done. The less you're responsible for, quite often, the less you make. We all know there's nothing worse than a little person in a big position. We all know that boss that really can't handle it, but he walks around like a big shot. Never gets anything done, but he's always upset and angry at everyone, and he's on that power trip. So when you ask for a promotion, You're asking for problems. You're asking for offenses. In Luke 12:48, it says, to whom much is given, much is required. When you ask for that promotion, there's going to be more put on you. Remember, we'll put it in layman's terms. New levels, new devils, right? We've all heard it. We need to be able to handle the offenses. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Jesus wasn't looking for an answer to a math problem. He really wasn't. He wants us to be prepared to forgive as soon as we're offended. We got to let it go. Don't let it build up in you and corrode your attitude. It's not worth it. You can't let your history affect your destiny. And I, like I said, I wish I would have known this at a younger age. We can't let your history sabotage the promises of God. We have to let it go. You can't breathe in air and not exhale. Your car won't run without an exhaust pipe. You can't eat food and not go to the bathroom. Whatever you do, you have to be able to take in and let it out. Take in and let it out. If you stop breathing, you die. If you plug the exhaust pipe of an engine, the engine won't run. If you're not able to go to the bathroom, your body will pop. You have a system in every area of your body to relieve, except your heart. Your heart is always taking in offenses after offenses after offenses. After a while, it begins to damage your attitude. And the person you used to be, could be, would be, would have been, should be, and are designed to be. It will affect, you will be affected by all the junk in our lives. It begins to corrode and destroy from the toxicity of all the buildup and all the things that have happened to you. You need to remember that we are blessed people. You are the only you. There is no other one. There's not another one of you. You are created in God's image. We are a creative people. We can do almost anything. Some guys, if you give them a hunk of wood, they'll build a table and a set of chairs. We can fix almost anything. If it's broke, after working with guys in this church, if it's broke, man, we can figure it out and we can fix it. We play instruments. We make music. We are creative. We are people made by the Creator. Until we collect so much offense that it takes all of our energy to manage our hurt and pain. And all the energy that could be going towards living an abundant life, living out the promises of God, we cheat ourselves because we focus on what happened to us and all the hurts. Remember, forgiveness doesn't let the person off the hook for what they've done. It means the hurt or the pain of what happened is not going to hold you back from moving forward with the life that God wants for you. This morning, it was amazing as the Holy Spirit shared, and I leaned over to Teresa at one point and said, "Everyone is preaching my notes. Everyone's sharing my notes, talking about breathing in and letting go and pinpointing. And if you don't breathe, you'll die and you're spiritually paralyzed and all these things." But that's very, very true. God is making a point today. It means that you're not going to wait for someone to ask for forgiveness. You can't give up. You can't give that person that type of power over you. You can't put your life on hold waiting for someone to ask to be forgiven. Whatever it is, you need to let it go. My little snowman showed up yet? The little let it go. What's his name? Olaf, right? If it's money, let it go. If it's something someone said or did to you, let it go. If it's something that somebody did, you just got to let it go. Whatever it is, you should not give up your peace.
Amen.
Okay? This is a little rabbit trail, if you will, a little side note. No one can steal your peace. Satan cannot steal your peace. You give it up. You choose to react. You choose to hold that grudge, that offense. If you're waiting for someone to say you're sorry, that person may be dead. It'll never happen. You need to let it go. Right now, turn to your neighbor and say, "Let it go." God has too much for you to be stuck where you are, to hold on to something that is pulling you down. If you were holding a rope and that rope is pulling you towards a huge pool of mud, and you're not playing a game, you're trying to stop your Lamborghini from going over a cliff on the other side, at some point you're going to let that rope go. No matter if it's a Lamborghini or you're going in the mud or whatever, you're not going to let it pull you over the cliff and die. Amen. Why do we do it with offenses? Why do we do it with, because somebody hasn't said they're sorry? So when Jesus is teaching the disciples how to be blessed, he's dealing with their attitudes. Because your attitude affects your altitude. So if I was the devil, I can't stop God from blessing you. But I can get your attitude out of alignment. And then once you're out of alignment, then you're not able to receive what God has for you. God's blessing's there all the time. It's us being in alignment. It's us being the receiver. And before you know it, you're only 50% of the person God made you to be. When you carry that unforgiveness around, the toxicity begins to poison your soul like cancer. Jesus taught us to forgive because this is a part of survival. It's not weakness. It's not being strong. It's a part of survival. We need to breathe in and throw it off. The things that bother us, and we move throw off the things that bother us and then move forward with what God has for us. We can't let things hold us back, whether it's big or small. We need to let it go. We have been conditioned to think like chickens. If you're a chicken, you can't fly like an eagle. You look like an eagle, but you always fall back to acting like a chicken. It's because your attitude. You may have the looks, but not the attitude. We need to connect to what God has called us to be. A wife, a husband, a family member, a Christian, a friend, a follower of Christ.
Yes,
you can't hold on to your history and have your hands out for your destiny. If you know anything about chickens, they eat off the ground. They eat in the direction of their vision. They eat sticks. They eat garbage. They eat their own poop. Bear with me. I know that's gross. But they'll eat anything. The reason they can't fly very high is because of what they eat. You can't eat stuff you should release and still fly at the level you need to fly at. Now let's talk about eagles. Eagles don't eat poop. Eagles don't eat off the ground. Eagles will grab a snake, fly up in the air where they have total control, and that snake can't bite them. Eagles eat fresh meat. They don't eat waste. Eagles fly to a mountaintop. How many eagles are in here today? I see the hands. That's amen. How long? As long as you eat what you should have released, you will never fly on the level you need to fly. You can have an eagle position, but chicken mentality. I think that's why eagles reproduce in the air. Eagles will soar high in the air and they'll be intertwined and they'll spiral downwards during their mating time. Just before they hit the ground, they swoop back up. I believe God made it that way so they can't mate with a chicken. I'm just saying. When you're called to soar like an eagle, you can't stay on the ground and hang out with chickens. Your attitude determines your altitude. If you can't change your attitude, you can't fly at a different level of altitude. The reason we can't let it go is because of our attitude and where we came from. How we deal with offenses, criticism, trouble, bad news is a reflection of where you came from and how we were raised. If your father avoided talking and stormed out of the house and avoided dealing with things or was a yeller, you may do the same. If your mom popped her neck and said, "Let me tell you a thing or two," I would try to pop my neck, but I can't do it. Or if she gave the silent treatment, you may do the same. Our attitudes reflect where we came from. They don't teach these things in school. There isn't a class of how to be angry. It's not a college course. You do it because you saw it done around you. It's not natural for us to be unforgiving. You didn't come here today unforgiving. You know, something I just learned too when I was doing these notes, I keep typing in unforgiving and it's misspelled. And I'm like, what in the world? Unforgiving is a church word, is a word that's used in this setting. It's not natural for us to be unforgiving. Your children are not unforgiving. You can spank a little child and a minute later they're hugging you. Your kids can have a fight with the kids across the street, an hour later they're playing again, but the parents are upset, they're angry. Unforgiveness is a learned behavior. We think we are defending ourselves or protecting yourself from being hurt again by being angry or unforgiving. Being unforgiving is like you drinking the poison, waiting for the person that you're angry at to die. But you know what? It doesn't hurt them at all. It affects you. So Jesus says to his disciples, guys, I'm going to use you like you've never been used before. But I have called you up on the mountain to give you an attitude adjustment. Because if you can learn whatever life hands you, to let it go, no matter what it is, let it go, then Jesus can take you to a level that you have never been before. But he won't take chickens to a mountain, no more than he'll try to put an eagle in a coop. You have to make the decision. If you want more in the second half of your life than you had in the first half, then you need to let the first half go. Turn to your neighbor again and say, let it go. The score's not even, but let it go. You didn't get in the last word, but let it go. They never paid you back the money, but let it go. Kyle, can you come up? If you let go where you have been, God will give you so much more where you're going. Listen to this. What God has for you is not worthy to be compared to what is behind you. What God has for you is not worthy to be compared with what's behind you. The past is in the past. Forgetting those things that are behind you and reaching for those things before you is what's important. My question is, are you reaching for something? Yes. In John, Jesus said that I have come that you have life and have it more abundantly. You are not to design, we are not designed to live under the level of stress that you're under. Carrying that amount of stress is not healthy. It's amazing that you haven't had a breakdown. God has a plan for your life. Some of us have been blessed as far as God can bless us with the attitude that we have. In order to go to the next level, we need to say, I don't need this. I don't need that. I'm not talking about worldly things. I'm talking about those things that you keep hidden away. And when somebody says a certain thing, somebody does a certain thing, when somebody moves a certain way, that it takes you right back to that point. And you're all angry again, and you're all upset. You don't need those things. You need to let it go. chickens try to fly, they flap and flap and flap, and over and over, but they can't leave the area they live in. We try, but we can't let it go. The only way we can fly is to let it go. You can't keep going back to the hurt and relive it over and over. Again, we need to let it go. We have all heard of someone that their arteries are clogged. Do you think it happened overnight? No, it was a slow process, a little at a time. The blood flow began to get less and less to the heart. Until you start having problems. But until that point, we thought we were okay. Then we go to the doctor and he says we have a blockage and he needs to do a heart catheterization. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The word pure is where we get the word catheter. Is that amazing? See, God wants to put a catheter in your heart and drain all the toxic stuff that's been holding you back from becoming the man or the woman that He wants. He wants you to be that man or that woman. God's taken you to a level He wants you to use you. God created you for more. Pastor Pat talked about the balloon stomp last week and how you run around, you pop the game, you pop the balloon that's tied to your opponent's leg. And the thing about that is that when you're done popping it, there's pieces all over the place. And you have to go back and pick up those pieces. And when you do, it takes you right back to the reason you were stomping them. But when you're outside on a beautiful sunny day and the breeze is flowing and you got balloons in your hand and you let them go, they start going up and up. We all do it. I just did it the other day, Wednesday. Instead of cutting the balloons down that were on the fence for Pastor Senior's birthday, I cut them and let them go. And I stop and I'm watching and watching and watching. And after a couple minutes, they're gone. They're out of sight. I can't get them back. I can't reach them anymore. But it sure was cool letting them go and watching it. If you don't learn how to forgive, you can't live. If you don't learn how to forgive, you can't live. Like Alan said, if you can't forgive, you'll become paralyzed. You're going to sit right in your chicken coop, in everything that you should have released, and think you're happy when God's sitting there saying, I've got more for you. You can't move forward if you can't find the grace to let it go. Check out this video real quick. I seen that video and I thought how powerful a piece of cardboard can be. Everyone in this room has experienced one of those things, if not all of them. Forgiveness is not a defense or a shield. It's a robber and a thief. It takes courage to let things go that hurt. The memories, the feelings, in some cases even the hate. So what I'd like to do this morning is, if you notice, our chalkboards have been wiped clean. And it doesn't mean that the promise that you came up here and wrote on the board your name, that God is not working anymore. It means that maybe he's already completed that work and it's time to move on to something else. So I encourage you to come up here, grab a piece of chalk, and write on the board the things that you may need to let go. Some of them might be private, but you know what? What's the name of this church? Christ Family. I'm not going to judge you. I don't know that anyone else would judge you for anything that you write on that board. If you want to write it in code because it's that private, that's okay too. If you need to just come up here and do a set of lines, God knows what it is. But we're carrying some junk. Look at our world. They're carrying junk. They're mad. They're upset. They hate. They're unforgiving. Why? No one really knows, except for they need Jesus. They need direction in their life. They need to stop carrying that stuff around. Let's pray. Lord, we pray right now that a work begin in us. Lord, that we allow you, Lord, to do a heart catheterization and remove the things that are clogging our arteries, Lord. Lord, heal the hurts, heal our minds, renew and restore relationships, Lord. We want more of you. And Lord, we want what it is that you have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's so awesome how God starts a work or a seed that has been planted a long time ago, and it's watered, and it comes to a certain point, a certain time, and a certain day that it sprouts. And as people come up here and they're getting themselves back in alignment, some of you guys didn't come, and that's okay. And afterwards, you may want to come up here privately, and that's fine too. But I just thank you for responding today. I thank you for listening to the word. This was a hard one to preach. But you have to be obedient, and that's what it's all about. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time with you and in your presence, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us and loving us, Lord. I ask that you protect each of us as we go our own ways, Lord. And Lord, use us to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Sure.